Now, Lifestyle with Patty Mack on CFAX 1070.
Good afternoon, everybody. It's great to be here with you on this sunny, sunny spring day. And it is spring. We're going to talk about some great food because this time of year we want to start getting a little bit lighter in what we eat. Also, Easter is around the corner, so maybe some ideas for food. And we're going to talk about wine as well. And we're going to talk about some crafts, maybe some projects you want to make for Easter or just with your family. Also, decor and how you want your house to look this spring. Starting out, one of our guests we love having on the show, Emily Richards. Of course, you know her as an author. She's been on TV with Canadian Living and also magazines, and she teaches and does everything and is a mom of three. How are you, Emily?
I'm good, Patty. How are you?
Excellent, excellent. We haven't spoken in a long time, and I know you've been busy with all the things you love so much, which is a lot about food.
It is. It's always about food, which I'm happy. And luckily, my family still takes me on when I want to talk about food and do stuff with food.
So but, you know, I think that's great. And your philosophy is live, love, and cook. And, I think that's simple, but I think it's one of the most important things in life.
I think it is. I think sometimes we overcomplicate our life. So, you know, living simply and including those three things have worked so far for me.
Well, and I see you had Easter break because you're back east, of course. And I saw some of the stuff you made for the kids. And you were very creative with hot dogs. And, of course, they were high-end hot dogs. But tell us about some of those recipes. We can tell people how to get to your website and look up some of those great recipes that you have.
Oh, sure thing. It's EmilyRichardsCooks.ca. And I had lots of fun with hot dogs. It was almost put out to me, you know, what can we do with the kids? And, you know, our kids love hot dogs, and, you know, how can we incorporate them a little bit more healthfully? And so we had lots of fun. I did, instead of doing a traditional kind of pogo dog, you know, the corn dog,
yeah.
I made a little corn muffin and put little chunks of hot dogs in it. I did use a local producer of wieners here, and it was fabulous. Like, I couldn't stop eating them. You know,
they look so good.
So it was all good.
They'd actually be good little appetizers.
They are perfect appetizers. You don't have to use hot dogs. You could use smoked sausages, you know, anything like that, pepperoni, any kind of favorite sausage would definitely work in there for sure.
Now, I know you do recipe development. So is that, with these two recipes, is that what you do? Is you kind of have an idea and then you start seeing how many ways you can kind of spin that?
A little bit. That's definitely it. Sometimes, you know, the ask is put out, can I do this for, you know, this product? And sometimes it's, you know, my own spin on things that I just I have a real interest in, and, you know, that's what I want to do. So I'm lucky that way. I'm lucky being freelance that I have the opportunity to work with great clients but also do my own thing, which is fabulous.
I saw there was a really neat one with orange juice. Is that your new salad that you put out with a great dressing with chia seeds?
Yes. And that, you know what, chia seeds, it's all these buzzwords about health foods, right? It's kind of all over the place. Chia seeds are fabulous because they actually thicken, very similar to flax seeds. They thicken as they sit. So it gives you a real nice body to a dressing.
Oh, really?
Without the additional fat, because chia seeds, it's a good fat that's in it. And you can actually use it as an egg replacer as well, which, you know, we have kids, the kids have friends that have egg allergies. So, you know, sometimes making those cupcakes can be a little frustrating. So I've started incorporating those types of things so that, you know, no one misses out on all the good stuff.
So you must have to do an awful lot of studying, Emily, to really kind of figure out all these new things and how you can incorporate them, especially with all the new food allergies and sensitivities that people have these days.
It is. It's huge. You know, and it is research, but I also considered it fun just because I love reading about it. I love trying it. I think that's really the fun part when I get to go in the kitchen. I mean, there's mistakes, and they get eaten, not happily all the time, but it's a challenge. It's always good.
And what do you think about coconut oil? Because that's another big thing that we've been hearing lots about. For so long, it was like the banned thing, coconut, anything. And then now it's the buzz. It's the best thing for you.
It is. It's totally the buzz. I don't use it in my own kind of home cooking. There's a lot of recipes that get sent to me. And, you know, what do you think about this coconut oil? And if you do the math, you know, it's still a fat. And if you don't like the flavor of coconut, though, you've run into a big problem.
Yeah, right.
Because it is, you can't hide that flavor. It's definitely coconut. We actually have a number of family members that aren't big coconut fans. So, you know, that's why I haven't really jumped on that bandwagon.
I didn't realize it was so prevalent, too, the flavor of it, because that really is, that would really kind of disturb a lot of the stuff you're going to try and bake or
exactly.
Or use
but
it with.
I mean, coconut flour is something that you know I've played around with because as a wheat free option, you know, for gluten free diets, it's another option out there. It is a little bit higher in fat, and you know that's sometimes the things that people don't necessarily think about. It depends on what type of diet you know you're on specifically. But if you're, you know, willing to trying new things, definitely, you know, the coconut flour is one that fits into the gluten-free lifestyle for a lot of people. So, and it gives you a nice little, you know, flavor profile that's different, which is nice.
I know nutrition is your background, too. And so with a lot of these things, they are fats, right? So people think, oh, I'm going to use that, I'm going to be healthy. But like olive oil or anything else, in moderation, right?
Definitely. And I mean, it's all a matter of a lot of those fats, they have the same amount of fat. It's just which one is kind of the better one. A lot of people talk about avocados and avocado oil. You know, it, when you're looking at polyunsaturates, monounsaturates, there are all these words that get thrown around. And in the end, I think the best way to understand it sometimes is, you know, those good oils and the bad oils. And that's how people kind of remember them. But I also want to add flavor in there. So if I am looking for something that has a bit more flavor, I am looking to things like extra virgin olive oil. And you know what? A little bit of butter goes a long way, too. It has the same amount of fat, but it has more flavor.
Absolutely.
So, you know, just use a teaspoon of butter as opposed to a tablespoon, perhaps, on your toast.
I like the way you think. And I like this recipe, too. Bacon-wrapped meatloaf. Yum.
Oh, that is, oh, you know, I could do anything for bacon, I think. Maybe I shouldn't say that out loud, but it is definitely a favorite. And that meatloaf is hands down one of the family favorites big time.
Okay, tell us a little bit about how you put that one together.
That was, you know, if meatloaf, I think, is a standard recipe for a lot of families. And I love meatloaf, but sometimes you get bored of it and you want to change it up. And I really had been doing a lot of reading about bacon, and this was a while ago, but just because, you know, bacon is kind of, it's still very popular.
I feel like Homer Simpson, bacon.
Yes, exactly. I think I'll wipe the drool off my lip, too. And I just thought, you know, let's put these two together. And if you see kind of that epic mealtime, any of those things online where they kind of take bacon over the top,
yeah.
It is kind of overwhelming, but this really does add a nice bit of smokiness because bacon is smoked, and it just crisps the meat on the outside up a little bit, too, because as it's baking, the bacon shrinks onto the meatloaf, so then it gets a little crispy, so you're getting a little bit of additional moisture into the meatloaf as well. A lot of the times, you know, you're looking for leaner meats, so if you're using an extra lean beef, for example, for your meatloaf, you might need the help of that bacon to kind of give it a little bit more flavor and tenderness.
That sounds fabulous. And that chia, like that salad you made, was anything special about the ingredients in the salad as well? What was that one?
It was just fresh vegetables, lots of color. And right now, I mean, I'd love to have fresh, you know, local vegetables. We're still kind of, you know, not quite there yet.
Oh, poor you guys.
So no having, I know, I'm going to have to come the other way. But lots of color and just that fresh kind of crisp textures of peppers, but then having that creaminess of avocado. And then I love orange juice in recipes. I drink it in the morning, great start to the day, but I also like to incorporate it in salad dressings, marinades, because I really enjoy that fresh citrus flavor.
So if you're making a homemade dressing, because, you know, this time of year, we're going to talk a little more about Easter food, but also some lighter fare. What are some basics with orange juice to make a nice salad dressing if you're entertaining tonight?
Well, definitely, it does. It's going to add that bit of acidity. So if you are used to using vinegar or lemon juice, it's going to replace that. However, it doesn't have quite the tang as lemon juice would. So if I was making a traditional vinaigrette where it would have, you know, a 3-to-1 ratio of oil to vinegar or lemon juice, I would actually, if I was using orange juice to replace that, I would still add that little bit of vinegar or lemon juice, but then add an additional orange juice, so another tablespoon in there of the orange juice, because you're adding that balance of sweet and tang, but then you have that that little bit of fresh orange flavor as well.
And then was that where the chia seeds come in, or would you add any other, like mustards or anything else to that?
Definitely a little bit. Dijon mustard, I'm a big fan of. Little teaspoon of Dijon mustard. The chia seeds could go in there, and if you're adding the chia seeds, you can actually reduce that oil. So instead of the 3 tablespoons I mentioned, you know, you can drop it to 2 or 1 and add a tablespoon or 2 of chia, but then remember, because it's a fat, you're going to have to balance it up with a little bit more liquid because it's going to absorb it. So change it up with that orange juice.
Do you think when you're making these kind of dressings, Emily, that you know, you don't have to be, you know, as long as you got kind of those, the vinegar and oil thing, the rest of it, you can kind of try a few different things, you maybe some herbs in your garden or whatever, and try and switch it up and get the flavors you want.
Definitely. I mean, I love that bit of creativity and, you know, have the freedom, especially with fresh herbs, because they had such a wonderful flavor, and then the color that they provide, it's just awesome. And then, you know, again, the mustards work really well. If you're looking for creaminess, you could also add a little bit of mayonnaise in there.
Mm.
One of my fallbacks is always pesto, whether it's sun-dried tomato or basil pesto, a tablespoon in a vinaigrette. Now you already have your herbs, your garlic, a little bit of cheese flavor. So there's, you know, it's really robust, and you can get a big hit in your salad dressing.
Wow, those are great ideas. When we come back, let's talk some more about Easter as well and some ideas for our listeners. Back in a minute with Emily.
This program is brought to you by Marigold Nurseries.
Rain, sun, snow. We get it right with an accurate forecast. If it's happening, it's here. Victoria's News Authority, CFAX 1070.
Why drive here, there, and everywhere when Lansdowne Appliance Gallery has the biggest brand names and best customer service in the city?
Now on display at Lansdowne Appliance Gallery, get a KitchenAid dishwasher with patented Whisper Quiet technology and receive an instant rebate up to $500.
Save up to $500 today and enjoy your new KitchenAid dishwasher with patented Whisper Quiet technology for years to come at 2517 Douglas at Bay and at LansdowneAppliance.com.
Hi, my name's Delaney Rand. My family has been looking after Victoria's cars for more than 25 years now. My dad can fix my bike. He can definitely fix your car. You should call Rand Automotive at 381-5455 and let my family look after yours.
And when you call our family of service professionals at Rand Automotive, ask for Sherry, George, or Gloria, or look us up on the web at randautomotive.com. Rand Automotive, we treat you and your car like family.
In real estate, unique is an overused word. Parkside at Royal Bay turns unique on its head, setting the new standard of living in the West Shore. You've never seen such affordable luxury like this. West Coast contemporary architecture, designer interiors, top quality finishes and appliances with income-producing legal suites. The homes of Parkside at Royal Bay are energy efficient and built on low-maintenance freehold lots. Experience the new standard of living at an open house every weekend from 2 to 4. Learn more at the newstandard.ca.
You need money. You own your home.
I need money. I own my home.
Meet Get Acceptance.
Online?
Or on the phone.
Not like a bank.
No, it's a simple application.
Credit check?
Nope. No need for a credit check or income history. And approvals take about 24 hours.
I need the money for...
It doesn't matter what you need the money for. Need $15,000?
$50,000.
Or $300,000. Go to Get Acceptance.
And get...
Accepted. Get Acceptance. When you can't bank on the banks... Go to getthatloan.ca. Some conditions apply.
Good afternoon, I'm TJ Mullen. The SBC Off the Grid Music Festival is coming up next week, Thursday, April 17th at Claremont Secondary School. This unique music festival includes great entertainment with a soundstage powered by human pedal power and solar power. It's literally off the grid. Come join this community celebration for a sustainable future. It's free, all ages event. You can find out more details on our website, cfax1070.com.
We are back. Great to hear about that event, the SBC. That's my very good friend, Judy Feinstein. It's going to be great. I hope you all can attend. Later in the show, we're going to talk to a sommelier about wines for the season. And also Jenny Ambrose from the Make House is going to talk about some crafts and some home decor. But right now, we have Emily Richards, and she is a foodie of always. She has a book out. And what is your book again? So people want to look that up and purchase it.
Oh, sure thing. The one right now is called Get in the Kitchen and Cook. And I actually, starting yesterday, started photography for my new book that's coming out this fall.
And what's that going to be about?
Italian food.
Oh.
So my family's, you know, family recipes coming out.
Oh, that'll be fabulous. I was looking up about your grandmother, and I guess she was the one when you were very young that you started in the kitchen with her.
Yes, very young. She pushed, you know, the chair up to the stove and let me stir the pots. And all. And I think back, I'm thinking, wow, that is so not safe, but I had lots of fun doing it. So.
But you know, that's so neat because I think sometimes we get so caught up in it's easier to do it myself, it's dangerous, the stove is hot, we're so conditioned that way now.
Exactly.
But yet, look at what it's given you and the passion that has driven your life.
That's true, that's true. And I definitely, I mean, we have kind of rules in the kitchen for the kids here at home, and it works. And their interest of coming into the kitchen, you know, really inspires me. And I think that that's kind of what keeps me going. And I like to share that with, you know, other families, because they have that worry too about, you know, oh, should I let my, you know, son or daughter in the kitchen? They're only four, and that type of thing. And definitely, you know, even if they just want to watch, that's really where it starts, that interest to be there. And then, of course, that's what will pique their, hey, can I chop that? Or, hey, can I try that? And that really will carry them through.
And that's why I like you so much, because, you know, I feel like I'm an Italian family, that I get to live a little bit of that, you know, that kind of, I can imagine your family gatherings, because we've talked many times. And this Easter, I told you before, you should have a brunch, because they all come from out of town and wherever, and they stay too late. What are you doing this Easter?
We are going to have a dinner. It's an earlier dinner.
Okay.
Because they are doing the traveling. And this year, my son's turning 12 a few days before Easter.
Wow.
So we're kind of, you know, jam-packing everything into the weekend. But I have to admit, we are going to be a little bit lucky, because we're continuing with photography next week, and I'm going to work on the Easter chapter.
Oh!
So I kind of strategically am doing that so that I have extra food for the weekend.
Well, that's perfect. So we'll actually get to see your family in the book next year?
That's what I'm hoping. Definitely.
Oh, that would be great. I think that's really important too, to actually share that part of you that is so neat, your big family, that it's a real thing, that this is the life you lead.
Definitely. And I think they've played such a major part in it. I mean, without them, I wouldn't be here. So, you know, and they're a huge support group. I mean, you know, a lot of times you go to those other support groups, but they, my family definitely, you know, fits that bill too. And I think that's what keeps me going for sure.
And what's your family name? Your maiden name?
Oh, it's Fernandez, but it's not really Italian. But I tried to kind of explain the story in the book of, you know, where this name came from, because it's more kind of Portuguese, Spanish. And
well, we're going to have to buy the book to find the
definitely.
Story.
Definitely. Oh, yeah, there's a legitimate reason for everything, right?
There is. Okay, so tell us a little bit about what that day is going to look like. Are you doing everything? Are people bringing? Is your mom bringing some food?
Yes, my mom's going to do some stuff. Traditionally, we do a lot of kind of frittatas and things like that include cheese and eggs and some dried salami, which is a huge favorite around here. And then to make kind of everybody happy, because not everybody likes lamb, which is our kind of traditional meal, I'm going to be serving some turkey as well. Ham is kind of hit or miss around here, so we have more turkey fans this year. So I'm going to do probably just some turkey breasts. And roast those so that we can slice them and have them serving, you know, just I prefer doing kind of a buffet service. Again, everyone can get up, and I like to keep people moving so they don't have to sit there for that long.
Well, you know, it's kind of true, because we've done it both ways. And once we sort of gave into that and just put it as a buffet instead of trying to pass all those bowls around, it really eases a lot of tensions. Kids can start eating. People, you know, it's, I don't know, it's just a lot easier.
Yes, yes.
People are happier. Now, your lamb recipe, is that a marinated? What kind of a lamb do you do?
I'm actually going to have a couple. We're going to do lamb chops that I marinate with a little bit of fresh thyme and vinegar and garlic, and then grill them. And then I like to drizzle them with a little bit of a balsamic glaze.
Mm.
And then that's kind of part of the antipasto that we have. And then for the main meal, I do a stuffed boneless leg of lamb. And I don't kind of go crazy with the stuffing. Very simple, very Mediterranean, sun-dried tomatoes, a little bit of olives, breadcrumbs, sometimes some cheese in there too. And then roast it. And, you know, very simple, but it's got a lot of big flavor just with those few ingredients.
Oh, that sounds so good.
Well, my mouth is watering still. I don't know about
gosh.
You, Patty, but I'm getting hungry.
Well, you know what's great is that you like the stuff you cook, because a lot of times people cook stuff and they don't really like it. And it's good that you enjoy your food.
Yes, definitely. And I always like when, you know, it comes out of the oven and people are kind of hovering in the kitchen waiting. So that's always a good sign. The smell has brought them in, and then the food will, you know, continue keeping them there, which is awesome.
What a great gift. And dessert-wise, you know, a lot of people this time of year want a little bit of chocolate with that, or some people love the creme brulee or a chocolate mousse. What is your, do you have a lot of desserts or one specialty?
There's a few, because we're not huge. Kind of Easter time is it's actually really important in you know, the Italian community. Easter's a big holiday, and we do a lot of baking. So there's cookies called Ginettis. They're like almost like a vanilla cookie, kind of spongy with an icing sugar topping. There's another hard version that's great dunked in coffee. But we also do things like crostatas that are, you know, jam tarts. and tiramisu. My aunt's tiramisu is a hit all the time. Ooh. So that has a bit of chocolate just because that cocoa layer on top. But we don't kind of go full tilt with chocolate. However, if you've seen those lovely Italian Easter eggs with the foil wrap, that's where we get our chocolate from, the Easter Bunny.
Of course, the Easter Bunny's going to be there. And your kids are at a good age for that.
Yes, yes. The full-on, you know, egg hunt goes on in the morning, and then there's a lot of chocolate eating. So by dinner time, I think, you know, the sugar has kicked in, and we ease up a little bit there.
And how do you keep it all together, though, Emily, when you, you know, I know you're part of a big family, so everybody's different that way, but if you're having people over, maybe it's your first time hosting, what are some tips that you can kind of keep your cool and have a nice dinner and really celebrate the season for what it is?
I think when people offer, you know, can I bring anything? You know, say yes, definitely, and guide them a little bit. You know, it's still your thing, so keep that control and say, you know, I'm going to be making ham. Why don't you bring some green beans? So that you still are in control of the menu, but you're getting help so that you don't have, it's not all on you. And having that plan ahead so that you can, you know, sit down, make yourself up a little menu. Sometimes you might need to do it a little bit earlier if, you know, you're having everybody over and you're inviting them. And that's when the questions are going to come up about what can I bring.
I just say a case of wine. Is that too much?
You know what? I really need to think like that. I should start doing that.
Yeah, put the big ask out there, Emily.
Exactly.
You have a lot of people over. They owe you.
Well, if everyone brings a bottle, that would really help me out.
Absolutely. That's mandatory. Absolutely. If people want to get a hold of you, Emily, or know more about the book or any stuff that you're doing, because I know you're very active, and it sounds like you have a TV show on you. You should be filming your family.
I'm scared that people would run away if they saw what happened sometimes.
That'd be a reality show. Yeah, I bet.
You can always find me through my website, emilyrichardscooks.ca. I'm also on Facebook at Emily Richards Cooks. And I'm on Twitter, ER is cooking.
And there's always lots of great recipes, too, because I love going through there and you kind of describe your life. And I think you were talking about date night, that you're trying to kind of reclaim part of that, and you've been visiting some local places that sound fabulous. Is that a new direction you're going now? Your kids are getting a bit older?
They are, yes. With Matthew turning 12, you know, he wants a little bit more responsibility. So, you know, once that babysitting course is taken...
Woo! Wait till they get their driver's license.
Oh, I know. I'm so excited. I won't have to go to the grocery store all the time. So, yes, definitely. And I like the inspiration of a lot of the small local restaurants. And it's different when you go as a family as opposed to being there as a couple. It's a different environment and you experience different things. So, and I want to be able to share that with, you know, people that read my recipes as well, because it influences my food, and, you know, I want people to enjoy that.
So it's
that
research, Emily.
It is. It's always research.
Always never research.
Fun.
Hey, happy Easter to you and your family, and
thank
I really
you.
Look forward to your new cookbook, and we'll be talking to you about that so we can tell everybody about that when it's coming out. Happy Easter, Emily.
No, same to you, Patty. Thanks so much.
You bet. Take good care. We come back and talk to Jenny Ambrose from The Bakehouse.
I can't take it.
Why are you bumping your head on the steering wheel?
These gas prices are killing me.
Not me. I just bought a fuel-efficient Ford, and my price is locked in at 95 cents a liter.
Get peace of mind when you lock in your gas price at 95 cents a liter. That's a value of up to $1,100 on vehicles like the Ford Edge. Plus, get the Sporty Focus starting at $85 bi-weekly at 0.99% purchase financing for 84 months with zero down. Or own it for $14,948. Drive smart, save smart, ends April 30th. Only at your Ford store. See paper for details.
Only Marigold Nursery Spring Super Sale has full flats of 32 mix and match basket stuffers priced at just $30 per flat. Sign up for one of their upcoming moss basket workshops and create your own masterpieces for just $60 with all materials and instructions included, just in time for Easter or Mom's Day. On Lockside Drive, in Duncan, and at marigoldnurseries.com.
From our growing family to yours, Marigold Nurseries.
This is Victoria's News Authority, CFAX 1070.
Good afternoon. I'm Jillian Vandergeese with CFAX 1070 News. About two dozen ships and planes are focusing on a smaller section of the southern Indian Ocean in their search for the missing Malaysian jetliner. Searchers continue to listen for signals from the flight's black boxes. U.S. Navy Captain Mark Matthews says they plan on sending an underwater vehicle down to collect data, bring it back up, and look at what it's collected.
We're not going to be convinced that we have found the aircraft until we can actually take a look at a picture and say, Yes, that is Malaysia Air 370.
Search crews are scrambling because the batteries powering the recorder's locator beacons last only about a month, and that window has already passed. Hundreds are gathering to oppose the Kinder Morgan Trans Mountain Pipeline expansion project in Burnaby today. Organizers call the event the People's Procession, and according to the Facebook event, over 500 people have stated they'll attend a march along the pipeline's existing and proposed route.
It's kind of been pushed through by Kinder Morgan without a lot of people being aware of it. The amount of tankers that will be going through the Second Narrows Bridge and the First Narrows Bridge will be increased from, it was 22 tankers in 2005, and they're increasing it to 408 tankers a year going out, fully loaded, and they will be carrying bitumen.
That was Janice Edmonds with the North Shore NOPE, which stands for No Pipeline Extension, one of the groups involved in today's rally. Syrian rebels and the government are accusing each other of using poison gas in an attack on a village. Reporter Bassem Mouray has more from Beirut.
Syrian government media and rebel forces said that poison gas had been used in a central village, injuring scores of people, and each side blamed the other for being behind the attack.
Two people were killed and more than 100 were injured. A home in Greenwich, Connecticut has been sold for $70 million under the original asking price, but the 12-bedroom waterfront estate on 20 hectares still went for $120 million. It's believed to be the most ever paid for a residential property in the U.S. The 13,000-square-foot French Renaissance-style home has a 22-meter pool, grass tennis courts, a stone carriage house, and two islands in Long Island Sound. That's CFAX 1070 News to 132. Taking a look at weather now for this afternoon. Sunny, expecting highs of 15 for your afternoon, a UV index of 5 or moderate. For tonight, clear skies in the forecast, lows to 5 degrees overnight. For your Sunday, more sunshine in the forecast, highs to 16. Right now outside our CFAX 1070 studios downtown, we're sitting at 11 degrees. That's it for CFAX News. I'm Jillian Vandergeest. If it's happening, it's here. Victoria's News Authority, CFAX 1070. It's 1:33.
Now, Lifestyle with Patty Mack on CFAX 1070.
Welcome back, everybody. And, you know, it's a nice day out there. The spring is in the air. Easter is around the corner. We're going to talk later to Mark Taylor about his restaurant, also about some perfect wines for spring and for Easter. Up now, we have Jenny Ambrose from the Makehouse. And the Makehouse is a great place. I went there and did some upholstering a couple months ago. And, you know, it's kind of old school. They've got sewing and all kinds of different crafts and hobbies that maybe you haven't thought of for a while, but it's going strong. And got lots of great courses coming up in the next few months. How are you, Jenny? How are you doing, Jenny?
Hello, can you hear me?
I can hear you. How are you?
I'm great, thank you. How are you?
Good. I know you're busy today. You've always got lots of courses going on there. What's on this afternoon?
I have a beginner sewing group this afternoon. I've got six ladies coming in to use the sewing machine for the first time, or some of them the first time since maybe grade 9.
Which I know, and I failed sewing in school, which is pathetic, I know, but I really was bad, and I think because I don't know, maybe patience, and if you go too fast and you have to, you know, take the whole thing out again. And what does it take to be an okay sewer?
Oh, just a little patience and a lot of love, I think. You have to want to do it. You know, you have to, you have to enjoy the process. It's not just about the final result, you know, it's about the doing.
And I think maybe that's it, too. You said, like, some ladies, and I think I saw the one in bow ties. I'd love to come and try that again, because I think, you know, maybe at this stage of my life it's different than then, and I really would like to try it.
I mean, absolutely. I think a lot of people's first experience was when they were, you know, perhaps like 12 or 13 or 14 and, you know, patience. And oftentimes as well, like especially quite a while ago, the home ec teachers had a bad reputation for sometimes being a little bit mean.
And really rushed about it too, right?
Yeah, exactly. And it was almost expected. It's like, why didn't your mother show you this? Like,
I know. And you may not have a sewing machine at home or a bad one, so it was tough to make up that time if you didn't have time in school. So you have also open times if people want to come in and drop in to use the sewing machines there.
Absolutely, and we just got new machines. We've got really exciting brand new Janome machines with lots of fancy stitches that make us all look more clever than we even are.
That's so cool. I was just talking about that upholstery course, and I got to get a picture for you, actually, and send it to you. I gave it to my daughter for the makeup table, and I can't believe how nice it is, but Miro, who is the genius upholstery teacher, he's slightly scary.
Oh, he's a pussycat. He's a pussycat.
I mean, he has got high expectations, and he does not let you go out that door unless it's perfect.
That's why we like him.
I know, and he's great. I mean, I still can't believe I did it because it seemed like an overwhelming task, but everybody who was there, and you make friends with them while you're there, left with amazing pieces of furniture.
Absolutely. The transformation is unbelievable. And, you know, you can really take advantage of the auction houses along Fort Street if you have, some of those really simple skills because, some people will pass by a chair that maybe has a rip in it or the fabric's really worn, but the actual woodwork and the shape of the chair and the craftsmanship within the chair structure is amazing, and it just needs a new seat cover.
Yeah, and it is so fun, though, to show your friends, too, because they can't believe it like you did that because... this was an old chair, my mom's, which was really bad shape. And by refreshing this fabric, which was cheap to buy, it's amazing the look of it now. It's kind of like a shabby chic.
Well, and you have something to be proud of as well.
You know? I like that. And is that what you're finding, Jenny, is that people are wanting to have that kind of feeling of accomplishment, of taking the time to just be patient and enjoy the process, enjoy the time away from everything else and work on a craft?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I think it is. I think it's quite meditative. I like when you get into sewing, when you're learning, it's a little more challenging to think about other things while you're doing things because you're trying not to sew over your fingers. And But once you get going with it, it does become a time where, for me, sometimes I'm thinking about nothing at all, or it gives me time to think about other ideas that I might have that I haven't been able to stop thinking about because people keep coming into the store.
Yeah, and it's doing really well, Jenny. And you're on Fort Street?
We are. We're between Blanchard and Quadra. And most of our neighbors are antiques. So that's why we fit in here.
What, they're old people or they're old furniture?
Our neighbors are like the stamp collectors, you know, old furniture.
It's a cool area.
It is a great area. I love being on Fort Street. We get a lot of very random passerbys that poke their nose in here to see what's going on. And our neighbors, you know, when I first moved in here, they thought I could see them, especially the older gentlemen. They're like, I give her 3 months.
But they don't know you.
Now they know. Now they're like, what is she doing? Like, she's clever. There's always people going in there. Like,
well, you're a very fun person and very easy to be around, and you're very open and welcoming to people, and certainly a fun thing to do. And we're talking about Easter, and you know, you were talking about there's a doll stuff making workshop that.
Oh,
you're doing.
Yeah, and when we say dolls, it's really you know, it's a short workshop. It's only 2.5 hours. We're not talking about making old porcelain Victorian dolls.
Okay.
We're talking about making cute stuff dolls. They don't even have to be dolls. They can be, you know, an animal. They can
a
be
teddy.
Anything. The idea is that it's usually on a Saturday. We mostly have adult workshops, and we wanted to do something that was open to, you know, grandmothers and grandkids, or mothers and daughters, or fathers and daughters. It's really open to everybody. There's hand sewing, and for people who are comfortable and want to use a machine, they can for certain parts of their project. And it's our art teacher Freya that's leading the class from 2 to 4:30. I'm actually going to be flying to New Orleans that day.
Oh, poor thing.
I know. I've never been. My first trip to the States, actually.
Is that right?
And I'm a big jazz fan, so I'm very excited.
Oh, that's going to be so fun. Because that is your love, isn't it? That's your other love, is jazz.
Music, and not in general, because yes, I'm a bit of a music snob, but jazz is very, very high on my list, and as is blues. So I think that I'm going to have a good time there.
That's going to be so cool. We're going to take a short break, Jane. Okay. When we come back, we're going to talk about what else you've been up to and a couple of ideas for Easter decor. Back in two.
Join Club 1070. Give us feedback and win. Pick your favorite topics. Tell us the guests you love or love to hate. Sign up now at cfax1070.com.
Club 1070 members get to have the same programming, and they're eligible for great prizes such as trips, concert tickets, movie passes, gift certificates, and more.
Join Club 1070 and win. Sign up now at CFAX1070.com. Now, CFAX 1070 Community Connection.
Brought to you by Dodds Furniture and Mattress.
I'm Lisa with the CFAX Community Connection. I'm at the Nellie McClung branch of the Greater Victoria Public Library, located at Cedar Hill and Mackenzie. The ladies at the Master Gardener's Table have been busy answering questions from the public on garden pests and plants. They're here till 2 p.m. and coming up at 2, there will be an info session on the Victoria Seed Library put on by Life Cycles and the Greater Victoria Public Library. You can find out more about the Seed Bank. That is coming up at 2 o'clock. And on Tuesday, April the 15th, is the foodie event Color Your Palette at the University Club West Campus Way, Oak Bay. You and the culinary experts will taste 12 bite-sized treats. The tickets cost $60 to $65 and includes a complimentary beer or wine. There will be door prizes and a silent auction as well. This is a fundraiser for the Arts Reach program. I'm Lisa Gerboff with your Community Connection.
Feel like walking today, Mom?
Maybe tomorrow. My toe will be better then.
Foot pain. How would it affect your daily activities? Dr. Glenn Cornwell Podiatry is dedicated to the prevention and correction of foot pain due to bunions and hammer toes. Dr. Cornwell specializes in making the foot function, feel, and look better. Get back your life, have great feet again, and do away with foot pain.
Why did I wait so long to find a treatment?
Through innovation and care, Dr. Glenn Cornwell Podiatry puts your best foot forward. Call 386-9350.
The 2014 BC SPCA Lottery for the Animals is bigger and better than ever, with $100,000 in cash prizes to be won, including a $10,000 grand prize. With daily cash prizes throughout June, you have more chances than ever to be a winner. Tickets start at only $25 and are on sale now at spca.bc.ca/lottery. The ticket deadline for the $7,500 early bird prize is April 27th, so act now. Get your tickets today at spca.bc.ca/lottery. 19 plus to play, know your limit, play within it.
This program is brought to you by Marigold Nurseries.
The weekend sports recap from local to pro, the Red Zone with Kyle, John, and TJ. Sunday nights at 8 on CFAX 1070.
We are back with Jenny Ambrose from the Make House. Jenny, we were talking about Easter and spring. You know, the fall, the fashions and sewing and patterns and the different materials. What kind of colors and things can we make this time of year to maybe freshen up our home if we're having an Easter dinner, maybe a table runner or making napkins? What kind of colors and patterns are you looking at?
It's time for gingham. It's always time for gingham.
Oh, I like that.
The sun comes out. You know, I like all the country kind of cottage. I don't know. I guess it reminds me of England. And then all the little bitsy floral prints, like the really small and huge flowers as well. But florals.
But that's really back, though, isn't it, from the 80s? Only it's a little bit different looking now, the florals. They're not quite.
It all depends on the colors, what it looks like. Like, obviously, florals that are like brown on brown on that starts to look kind of 70s, which isn't really my favorite time. I'm more like 50s, 60s sort of colors, like bright colors or like monochrome or, you know, black with green or black with red. Like,
so the gingham and the floral would be kind of cool together, though, wouldn't it, too?
Absolutely. Yeah, so think about picnicking.
Yeah, that sounds fun. And could people come to your place and if they wanted to use the machines, you could show them how to do a simple napkin or a table runner?
Yeah, people are starting to come and use our drop-in facilities more. And so for simple projects like that, absolutely. So there's always somebody here that can help introduce you as well to our new shiny machines.
Perfect. And you also are doing something with the fashion magazine.
Oh, we have a project coming up called Fashion Machine, and we're putting a call out to kids between the ages of 9 to 13 that want to be involved. Uh-huh. It's a collaboration between the Make House and Theater Scam. And we ran the project last year. We trained 20 kids, age 9 to 13, on the sewing machines. We taught them about deconstructing and reconstructing clothing. And then in a live performance, they remade adult outfits, on a 50-minute clock, which was very exciting. So the adult had to have an interview with the kids and then hand over their clothes and come back out into the gallery wearing a white robe. And then the kids would remake their outfits, and then they had to have a walk-off at the end of it.
Wow. And how do people get a hold of you if they know someone that's that age group that would like to be involved?
anyone that's interested can either email me, jenny@themakehouse.ca, or contact Theatre Scam directly at 250-FUN-SCAM, which is 250-386-7526.
And the Make House, if you want to look up that too, you've got lots of really neat things posted for April and May and the coming months. So is that the best way to find that?
Absolutely. And we will be running summer sewing camps. We have some that are directed at kids as well. And then we also are going to have some stitching boot camps again for adults who want to try and up their game over the summer.
That sounds like fun. And if you want to know more, too, you can always contact me, lifestylewithpattymack.com. If you have any question about any one of my guests, please contact me there. Or if you have any ideas for the show. Jenny, it's great talking to you. And I'm looking forward to the Shabby Chic. And we'll see you soon.
Awesome. See you soon. Okay, have a great weekend.
You betcha. We're going to switch gears here now. We're going to talk about food and wine. Joining me is Mark Taylor, a sommelier and restaurateur of Sienna in Vancouver. How are you, Mark? How are you doing, Mark?
Well. I'm well, thank you.
Excellent, excellent. Now, I saw today that you were a stand-up comic. Is this true?
No, don't go public with that.
Okay, be funny.
A long time ago, and I wasn't very good at it.
Long time ago. Wow, you have quite a path here.
I had some fears to work out. So
is that the way it is? Like, I can't believe anybody could ever do stand-up comedy. It sounds like the most frightening thing, but is that if you're afraid, you just face it and do it?
Yeah, try opening a restaurant.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, that has to be the hardest thing in the world.
Oh, I don't know. No, I know it isn't. I love it.
You love it. You hate it. You love it.
Comedy was just a goofy whim I had that I took and studied professionally briefly, and then did a few things, and it was fun. But it's a lot of time and writing and actually some serious work. And then with the restaurant booming, I didn't have time for it anymore.
So. Well, you know, I did a lot of makeup in the olden days and met a lot of comedians, and a lot of them were very serious people, because comedy takes a lot of introspection, and you're kind of looking at the world, and you're not really sometimes in it, you're just kind of watching it.
Yeah, that's what they say.
So opening a restaurant, now you have a family, you have a young daughter.
Yes.
It's a really time-consuming thing, because you have to be kind of hands-on all the time, don't you, to run it properly?
Yes. I'm in a unique situation currently in that I opened Sienna while I still owned Crew Restaurant.
Which was very successful and
loved. And after our child was born. So my intention with Sienna was to not be there 7 days a week. It was going to be the other restaurant. And then as things worked out about a year later, I couldn't come to terms with my landlord, so I closed Crew. And thought, you know, I'd sort of take half time for a couple of years and enjoy my daughter's first 3 years of her life, which have been fantastic.
So if people want to get in this business, what would what would you advise them?
Okay. I would, people want to get in the business, you already have to be in the business. You have to be, you have to have some mileage under your belt, because otherwise you're not going to make it. Sorry, I don't care how good a cook you are or how good a host you are. So with that, now you're all sort of crusty, bitter old veteran, and you need lots of money and patience.
And passion for it.
Yeah, the passion for it, definitely. So, you know, it is something, especially, this is my third restaurant, so third or fourth. And you do have to, especially the first 6 months to a year and a half, you really have to apply yourself 24/7. It's going to be a full-time effort. It's sort of like giving birth, except it lasts 6 months. And
oh,
being a male,
God,
I've never actually physically given birth. But
You're lucky.
There's a lot. And then, you know, then it starts going. And then, you know, what happens in a year or two is the restaurant takes on a character of its own, and you don't have that much, you know, you think you know what you're doing, but your customers sort of drive the business. And it's great. And then, you know, keep them happy and have some fun and just keep going.
Have some fun. And that's part of life, isn't it? If you're not having fun, don't do it.
Absolutely.
Because when that ends, then don't be doing it anymore. And
you've heard it from other people, but I don't feel like I'm going to work every day. I just go and do what I do. I love what I'm doing. So it never really feels like work.
And I think people say that, but I think certain people live it, and that's really the key to life, if you can really feel that every day. And your restaurant looks fabulous. And I used to live on 11th, and that's a great neighborhood. And
many years ago, it was Star Anise.
Yeah.
And that's where, so it has a storied past.
And if people want to look it up, it looks beautiful. Like, you can see the photos and from the window. It's inviting. And there's so many cool things around that area in Granville. Mm-hmm. And this is West 12th Avenue.
Yeah, my wife and I used to live on West 13th. So I walk by it on the way to Crew every day, this little spot. And I thought, so wouldn't that be great? And the intention was a neighborhood restaurant in a really nice neighborhood. So it is very relaxed and casual, but the food's fantastic, and I'm really happy with its success. We do very well with the Stanley Theater, which is right around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
So every night there's a show on, pretty much. We're full up early, and then everyone heads off to the show, and we do a whole other bunch of people who were patient enough to wait around.
I'll tell you how young I am. I saw Star Wars there. Back in a couple minutes, we'll talk more with Mark Taylor. Back in two.
Red Tag Days are back at Metro Lexus Toyota. It's our biggest sale of the year, so don't miss out. This is your opportunity for savings up to $8,000 on select vehicles. And there's 0% financing up to 60 months on select models. Come see why Metro Lexus Toyota has been voted by Victoria as the best place to buy a new car for 10 years in a row. Red Tag Days are back at Metro Lexus Toyota. But they won't last forever, so don't miss out.
Metro Lexus Toyota!
Douglas, across from Mayfair.
I already have my hands full making sure my business runs smoothly. Good thing business banking with VanCity is easy. I can do my banking online or with their mobile app. Plus, they have accounts that make it easier to manage cash flow, which means I can focus on the important stuff, like getting today's orders out the door.
Grow your small business with the right accounts today, like our Business Jumpstart high-interest savings account. VanCity. Make good money. Terms and conditions apply. Visit vancity.com/smallbusiness for details.
So retirement living, why should I choose the Wellesley?
The Wellesley of Victoria is well established with dedicated staff offering flexibility in meals. Dinner is included, or choose lunch instead. You can have lunch and or dinner every day. Dining room times are flexible with open seating and multiple meal choices. 5 entrees at lunch, 3 at dinner.
The Wellesley, independent and assisted living at its best. Ask Margot about a free trial stay at 383-9099. So nice to come home to the Wellesley of Victoria.
From delicious chickpea burgers and strip loin sandwiches to tongue-tingling curry, Deadbeat's Fresh Food Truck serves up the tastiest lunches Saturdays and Sundays from 11 till 4 at Marigold Nurseries. Like Deadbeat's Fresh Food Truck on Facebook, and just wait till you try Carrie's beet and yam chips. On Lockside Drive, in Duncan, and at marigoldnurseries.com.
From our growing family to yours, Marigold Nurseries.
We are back with Mark Taylor. He has a restaurant in Vancouver called Sienna on West 12th Avenue. Looks fantastic. Mm-hmm. He's also a sommelier. I want to talk a little bit about wines, too, because that's a whole other area that you specialize mm-hmm. in. And with Easter coming up, springtime, maybe a little lighter fare, what are some of your suggestions? I mean, a lot of people don't know what to really look for. They're afraid of if they buy, you know, a cheaper bottle that, you know, that's not a good thing. And I go for volume myself. But what do you suggest where people start if they want to do some pairing up for Easter dinner or for spring?
It's funny how the wine industry's made it so difficult for us to buy their products, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a funny thing, like in the restaurant, but we try to buy local as much as possible. And mm-hmm. it's that time of year where the spring is arriving, but the food's not here because of nature. So, you know, we're still dealing with winter produce. But that's for food. So for pairing, you know what, in the spring, to me, you know, and I've been a sommelier for many years, but spring's the time to just start to enjoy spring wines and not worry too much about pairing food and wine. It's like Easter dinner. Someone asked me just last night at work, you know, okay, if you're doing Easter, I'm having Easter dinner when we're doing turkey and stuff, and what should I pair wine with? And I said, you know, what I usually do in that it's a big family event is I pair the wine with the family rather than with the turkey.
That's true.
You know, because it's always, I've said my whole career, if you drink really good wines and you eat really good food, then it'll all work out pretty much, right?
Exactly. And the whole food pairing thing, you know, got so complicated you have to try this with that.
No.
You like what you like, don't you?
Exactly. And it added this extra pressure to the whole dining experience, which is just supposed to be fun and enjoying company, right? So I have to pair, there's my mom who likes dry sherry and she drinks gin and ginger ale. And there's my sister who only drinks Australian Shiraz or Napa Valley Cab. And then my brother who, like me, only drinks one kind of wine, and that's really good wine. So I have to You know, I have to keep everyone happy if we're having them all over for dinner. So
no hooch for you, huh?
No.
Nothing
no,
in a brown bag.
Oh, you know, I'm easy to please. It can be cheap and really good. Really
after the first few sips, you get over it.
It's not about price. Anyway, so an all-purpose, of course, sparkling wine is a great way to start any event.
Yes.
And then you'll talk to most of us wine geeks here in BC. We all love Riesling, right? Riesling is one of those secret sommelier wines that goes with so many foods.
And it doesn't have to be sweet, is it? I think people often heard that and they thought, ooh, that's really sweet.
I know. People are afraid of Riesling, and it's one of the greatest, you know, it's one of what we call the noble grapes. It's one of the great wines of the world. And it's okay with fruit and wine. It's made from fruit, right? So it's okay to taste that.
Yeah.
And then a good Riesling generally will finish like a crisp sort of a green apple kind of finish. So you're not left with this syrupy sweet flavor in your mouth. But you can enjoy a bit of sweetness. Come on, you're in shorts now. Just lighten up. And,
right.
And
I think
easier. Low alcohol generally, lower than the big guys, right? So you can drink more of it, and it's just fun.
And what do you think about red wines? I know some people that chill them slightly. Is that a no-no in your world?
No. Well, you know, and again, it's an old sommelier thing. Cellar temperature is actually about 65 degrees Fahrenheit. So it should be just slightly cooler than room temperature, ideally.
Right, but
and
not hot.
And a lot of us, because of logistics, we drink our red wines a little too warm. And, a slight chill is good. Something like Pinot Noir or Gamay or Beaujolais or something could be quite a bit cooler if you like it. So,
and you
know,
any...
the wine will warm up when it's out of the fridge. So.
Right. And do you decant?
I will if it needs... What I decant are big, young wines and old wines that might have sediment in them. And, you know, if I want to impress somebody about all my wine prowess, then I'll decant a wine because that you know, seems all cool when you're doing this special procedure and with the candlelight.
It does, absolutely.
I
want to talk a little bit about your menu here, too.
Okay.
What are some of your favorite things on your menu at Sienna?
Oh, my goodness. Well, it sort of rotates. We've kept a small menu that rotates all the time. Now, one of the things about my previous restaurant crew, which I loved, we had six or seven dishes that were always on the menu that people came for all the time. And bless my kitchen for still keeping them fresh and beautiful and delicious. But, you know, you sort of get tired of the same seven plates.
Mm-hmm.
So at Sienna, we decided to keep the menu rotating, and then people come now because they know it'll be good, regardless of what they get. Having said that, we do make a fair bit of our own pasta. So any of the stuffed pastas, like a ravioli or anything that's on the menu, currently, what do I have? I have a porcini mushroom ravioli. So it's stuffed with portobello and mascarpone. So it's great because what Jessica did, Jessica's my chef there, she took dried porcinis and ground them up and put them in the flour that she makes the actual the ravioli with, and then stuffed it with portobellos and mascarpone, and it's a light Madeira cream, so a little sweetness in there, and it's just delicious.
And
but, you know, we've done duck confit raviolis, we've done crab raviolis, so anything like that.
And how do you keep your figure, Mark, working in a restaurant?
Oh, it's the stress of running your own business, right?
And having a child.
Yeah, all that. No stress. I don't know. I just keep a balance. You know, what's good is a glass of red wine will generally balance things out. And, just keep a healthy lifestyle. So, I don't eat out, I don't eat that kind of food every single night of the week.
Right.
You know, I hope everybody does and they dine at my restaurant. But, you know, that's what restaurants are meant to be. You know, you're spoiling yourself a little. You're spending some money. You're indulging. You shouldn't concern yourself too much with... You know, also, you obviously want to stay healthy, but eat a little fat and stuff. It's fine. You'll be fine.
Yeah. Mark, it's been great talking to you. I can't wait to come and visit Sienna and try your food, and thanks for
okay.
the wine tips. And
my pleasure.
I can't wait to see your stand-up. Well, I hope to have you back on the show again, Mark.
Maybe I'll revive it someday. I'll be the old guy doing stand-up comedy. I think Rodney Dangerfield started in his mid-50s.
No respect. You got it. Okay,
well,
thanks.
Nice show. Thank you so much for having me.
You betcha. And thanks, TJ. And until we meet again, get out there and enjoy.